And good evening once again, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to yet another episode of Murder in Mirabar. Thank you so much for coming by. As always, we hope that you are safe and healthy and happy wherever you are in these constantly changing times. We hope we can give you something fun to listen to for the next couple hours as you follow the exploits of our various characters. As always, at the start, we like to thank the fine folks at Wizards of the Coast up in Renton, Washington, for the use of the Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition content, and the fact that they make that open source that lets all of us play it and use it in our various podcasts and streams, things like that. We also like to thank the fine folks at the Discord app. All of us are at our separate microphones, hither, thither, and yon, and we are coming to you from the home base in West Olympia, but lots of other people are in lots of other places, and we all communicate and create a little bit of sound via the Discord app, and so we thank them for the service that they provide. So yeah, there's a lot to get to. This is going to be a very active episode, but we thank you for joining us, and with that, I think we are ready to rock with another episode of Murder in Mirabar. When last we left you, you guys had gone back into the Undercity Caverns, again, searching for the hidden chambers, the places where the Book of All Known, summoned here by the demon lord Shakal, may be hiding out. You had lost Murdermead, but then he had been brought back, though not in the form that perhaps you knew him. Then heading back, you had encountered Blot, who had shown you the demon's prison area, where you freed your friend Court and your employer slash previous patron, Talia Silvertongue, the attorney from up above in Mirabar. And you had attempted to persuade them to head back up. You had thought about guiding them back out, but that would lose more time. But they were adamant. They wanted to come along with you, and you had just about agreed to let that happen when, coming down the tunnel, Murdermead, with his new sort of heightened senses in terms of his blind senses and his blind sight, detected a very large creature coming down, and suddenly you looked up and saw that the tunnel, about 40 feet up in front of you, was absolutely jammed with this horror, this monster that was coming straight towards you. Everybody got a surprise round. Helya got off some shots that hit, but Moradin also ran right up to the front and became gigantic, and there, sort of blocking the tunnel, as you look forward, you see Moradin with his flaming hammer, and beyond him, a horrible worm-like monstrosity. Murdermead, it bears a striking resemblance to the thing that ate you, but it's even in some ways bigger and more horrific. And so that's where we're going to start. So the first thing, because this is a tunnel combat, guys, we're going to do this a little differently. So I'm going to go down the row, and I want you to give me sort of the lineup, because you're going to be in single file to begin. So we have the worm, we have the beast. Moradin, you are directly in front of it. How far from the beast are you? I don't know I'm assuming in your large form you have reach, 10-foot reach. So are you within 10 feet? Are you within striking distance? Are you hanging back? What you doing?
As it so happens, the giant size effect, giant's might, does not give you reach.
It does not grant you reach, okay.
It's kind of lame in that regard.
Okay, so that means are you within
like level 18?
So are you then? So are you then within 5 feet of it? I guess is the question.
When we left off, I would have just rushed to the front of the group
okay.
and stayed, basically waiting for it to come at us.
Okay, great. All right,
and dodged.
And dodged. Okay. All right. So I'm gonna put you. What do you say? Like 20 feet back from it. Probably
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't have run right back up on it. Okay.
Yeah.
Who is next? Yeah, sure.
If I remember correctly, I also popped off the Spirit Guardians.
You did, in fact.
Okay,
that is correct. I have that as a note as well. Who is next behind you geographically? Who's right behind Morden?
I think that's me, because
okay,
I was trying to like line up a shot for when the worm came next to Morden.
Gotcha.
And I wanted to shoot it.
So give me a sense, Rick, how far? Are you like right behind him? Are you 10 feet back? How far back are you hanging?
Probably 10 feet from Morden.
Okay, so that's back of the monster. Okay. Gotcha. And who is behind Murdermead?
Helya was next.
Helya's next? Okay.
She's at the end of the tunnel at the corner.
Yeah,
so yeah, Helya, how far... How far back... Well, you took your surprise round shots and you hit. So the question is, how far back, if it goes Morden, Murdermead, then you, how far behind Murdermead are you? Are you 5 feet behind, just regular? Are you hanging back even farther? What you doing?
I'm hanging back even further. Her first thought is always get away if she can.
Okay.
She would move back probably about a good 20, 30 feet
okay,
from
okay.
them
okay.
and shoot things with her bow.
25 feet back of Murdermead. Let's see. Last gate. So how far behind Helya then are you?
I'm around the corner with my hand stretched out, okay. touching her shoulder.
Okay.
I needed one more round to cast that spell.
Okay. 5 feet of Helya corner.
That's right. You put Alacrity on me, didn't you?
I did.
Remember that. Yes, Alacrity.
Yep, I needed one more round to get it off, and so I just got it off before we rolled it.
Okay. And then about 10 feet back of Helya, we have this knot right now of Court, Silvertongue, who are huddled on the ground in abject terror. This is not what they thought they were signing on for. I mean, they knew, but they didn't know, as is often the case. And you will notice that Jamez has sort of is almost covering them as much as he can with his dwarven body, giving up the body and his back to kind of cover them. All right, now that I've got all that established, everybody give me an initiative roll.
Alacrity's
1d8. 1d8.
11 for Morden.
Okay.
I also have an 11.
I'm going to assume, Rick, you have the higher dex.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. More than 11. Okay. Who else got some initiative for me?
I actually, funnily enough, I myself rolled an 11.
Okay.
And I have one dex, so I'm pretty sure I have lower than everybody.
Yeah. I'm going to.
My owl rolled a 12.
Okay. Let's put Spark
your
on
dex
there.
Is actually higher than mine.
No way.
Yeah. Really?
It was zero?
I'm a very dwarfy dwarf, yes.
Oh, okay.
This makes sense.
Okay, easily dealt with. Okay, so Helya, where are you?
Well, you know, I'm still trying to figure out where I'm at. It's very complex question.
Yes. What is your
initial... Hold on, I gotta grab something here for you guys real fast. Because this is a thing... let's see. My initiative is in.
What is this? Hold on. What did I get?
That puts you tied with Rick, though, right?
I am an I rolled an 11.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you rolled an 11. Okay.
I rolled an 11. My dex bonus is a 4.
Okay, so you're still
I had
first.
An extra 3 from Gift of Alacrity, so technically I rolled a 14, but gotcha. I had to show you guys that I rolled an 11.
All right, here comes the beast.
I don't like how we were beaten by an owl.
Ooh, what
I
is...
mean, technically, I technically rolled a 14 because of Alacrity, but the raw roll was an 11.
Okay, and the beast itself, what's his little bonus? Oh, nothing great. That's a 13. All right, man, we're all kind of jumbled up there together. Okay, and then those two. All right, so let us sort, and away we go. Ooh, this is going to be a little bit of a cluster, isn't it? All right. Range. And okay, Helya, you are first. So you are back behind Moradin and Murdermead. The critter is in front of you. Moradin is large. So you could get off a shot around him. You're not going to be able to get up past him and melee him. And melee the beast.
I'm perfect. I excel at long range.
I know you do.
Just stay right up there. All right. Let's see. So I will take... I'm going to take 2 shots at him.
Take the shots.
So let's see. Is a 19?
A 19 does, in fact, hit.
Okay, that'll be 14 piercing.
14 piercing. Doing math in my head.
I'm going to spend 1 superiority die.
Okay. Feeling just a little bit
shit.
Superior.
So that's an additional 10 piercing.
Another 10 piercing.
The next person that is not me to hit him will have advantage on him.
Okay.
And then I'll take 1 more shot for a 18.
18. Yes, that's going to do it.
15 piercing.
And another 15. Okay.
So 39 piercing altogether?
Right. So that is... Excellent. Okay. So we are up to... Is that your... in any moves or bonus actions at all?
No. That's it. I'm just going to stay right where I'm at with last gate.
Going to stay right where you are. Okay. All right, so that brings us up to the beast. He is going to, let's see, he's about 20 feet from Moradin. He can easily make that, so that's going to bring up the guy. He's going to surge forward, and he will get 10 feet, so subtract 10 from that. Okay.
We're all sitting here thinking we have this like great meat shield in front of us. He's just gonna swallow more, and we're all gonna be like,
"Well,
Whoa!
That's." So you're gonna find out. Large characters do not swallow. It's one of the benefits of most of the things that eat things can only eat things medium or lower.
Damn right.
That's kind of you don't get it's not a lot. Swallowing going
I'm
on.
I'm bigger than you. I'm higher on the food chain.
All right. Well, that's not exactly the case here, but so he's this gigantic worm with tentacles coming out from the front of his mouth. Looks like these crab arms, and there is a definite acidic smell in the air. And Morden, you would notice as it surges forward, the rock around it almost seems to get eaten away by some sort of acidic contact with his skin as he passes. He's going to come up and get within 10 feet of you so he can use his reach. You are dodging, so he's going to make this attack at disadvantage.
I also need him to make a saving throw, wisdom 16 versus the Spirit Guardians.
Okay, so a 14 isn't going to hit you.
No, it will not.
But he is making a, what am I making?
Wisdom saving
wisdom.
Throw.
Wisdom. And that's not my way. Well, that's a straight. All right. Let me see if he has any. No, he does not have any advantages for that. All right, here he comes. Ugh, rolling bad early. That's a 3.
Okay, that'll be 17 radiant damage.
Radiant. Okay, he is not. He doesn't have any resistances or immunities to that. So okay. 17 is going to be. All right. So he's going to charge up. He is now within 10 feet of you. He makes a bite attack that misses because of your awesome large size dodging. And that is going to bring us to Sparkon. What you going to do, Owl?
How far away is Sparkon? He's on me.
So I'm assuming Sparkon is on you for now. So.
Yep. How far away from the enemy is he?
So you are now, let's do the math. He's 10 feet from Moradin. That means another 20 feet for you. So he is 30 feet from the monster.
Okay.
35, well, excuse me. Missed
okay.
One. Yeah.
He will whip around the corner, go flying forward and like grab at him with his talons and do his thing and then fly back 30 feet or 25 feet, I guess, the rest of the way and hold there.
So he is not, and just to be clear, he is not in any way making an actual attack on the monster.
No, okay. He's, I imagine he's like distracting it.
Okay.
I don't know.
And because he has flyby, he doesn't provoke opportunity.
Just
making that clear for the folks at home.
Yep.
Okay. And if that's all for him, Moradin, you are now 10 feet in front of this huge maw that doesn't seem to have eyes or anything like that. It's just a gaping maw that's corroding its way through this tunnel.
Hmm. How am I first? We all had 11. I would have been the last one.
Let me see if it's sorted right. Hold on. I've got you then. Oh, sorry. I've got you and Murder Mead switched.
Okay.
I think. Yeah. So, Rick, you're actually up first. What you going to do?
Well, sadly, the thing isn't adjacent to Moradin.
But the next attack does get advantage because of Helia's.
That's correct.
All right. Okay, you know what? Yeah, I'll try to shoot him.
Take a shot
through.
Okay. You're gonna shoot
just between Morden's legs.
That's kind of what you're trying to do here. Yeah, he's big. He's big and blocking the thing.
All right, and I have advantage.
He's a big blockage in the passway.
That's not great. And this is a crossbow. So 17.
17 is what you need.
Oh, okay.
17 is the hit. Yes. So, tell me damage.
It's not magical or anything. It's just a regular crossbow. But with a sneak attack, that's 28 points of damage.
Okay. Now, tell me why you get sneak attack on that one.
He's within 30 feet and I have advantage.
Because you have advantage, that's right. Sorry, I thought for a second I had more to not within 5 feet. So, yeah.
Well, that was my original condition, but
I had
forgotten about the...
Gotcha. Okay, there's your shot. Something else? Anything else?
Not really. I'll just call out to Moradin. Watch, don't let it eat you.
And that's just to check, Rick, that is straight up piercing?
Yes.
Okay. It's not poison or anything like that. Okay, just checking. All right, Last Gate, what are you doing?
How far away from Moradin is it?
It is 10 feet right in front of him.
And it is blocking the entire room.
It is blocking the passageway, yes. Yeah.
This seems like an ideal time for a fireball.
It does, but you are too close.
I'm resistant to fire.
I know, but you're too close.
Burn me, baby.
Oh, man.
Do it.
That's tough.
Do it.
Plus, he's still dodging, so he has advantage on the
save. Still dodging,
exactly.
Yeah. My safe word is more. That's caused confusion in the past. Is that going to be problematic?
He doesn't have advantage on the save.
Yeah, I do. On dexterity saves, if I can see you cast it.
It's true.
Thinking about dropping a big one. He's not going to do it.
No.
If our positions were reversed, I would fireball you.
No,
that's a friend.
I'm going to
that's a buddy.
I'm gonna turn around the corner, like run my hand up around the corner above Helya and smack my palm up against the side of the wall and cast just a level 2 magic missile.
Okay, straight up magic missile.
Yeah, we'll just do that.
Okay.
Four, 15 points of force damage.
15 points of force. Okay, yep. Yeah, you see those, you see it, Ragan. And Moradin, you would notice in front of you, when things like arrows and magic missiles are hitting, there's like little bits of acid that are squirting out of it with the hit that you knew if you were a little closer to, you would probably be taking some acid damage. At 10 feet away, you're not taking any. But like that, you know, Rick's arrow shoots right by you. His crossbow bolt jams into the lip, and there's like this spray of acid that comes out when you hit. Almost like you're hitting a too ripe fruit. It's really gross. Lastgate, is that your whole turn?
Yeah, I'm just gonna duck back around the corner.
Okay.
I'll keep my head poked out so I can see.
So, and then does your magic missile have any effect on what you were doing with Helya?
No. Last round, I got the Gift of Alacrity off.
You got the gift? Okay, so she does not have Gift of Alacrity. All right, let's just...
No, she does.
She does.
She's used it. Surprise round is I had to continue to cast it in order to get it off.
Right, it's just a shot and done. Yeah.
Yep, it's just a shot and done, but I was casting it before the battle, and then as we got up to it, I figured it out. So.
All right.
So that's all I got.
Yeah. Now, just... Side note, because Alacrity itself, not Gift of Alacrity, Alacrity is a concentration spell, isn't it?
Nope.
Alacrity isn't concentration? That's an incredibly powerful spell.
Alacrity was a 3.5 or second edition spell. They don't have it in 5th edition.
They do not have it in 5th edition.
Yeah, it's a Gift of Alacrity.
I guess now if you're going to do that, you just cast Haste, don't you?
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah, basically. Just cast Haste, which is a... incredibly powerful spell. I've always thought that one should be maybe a level higher. Let's see. So Moradin, you're up. You're 10 feet in front of this grotesque thing, like something out of a nightmare, like something out of a Python-esque, you know, Jim Henson's bad dream. What are you going to do?
Well, first, I'm going to cast Spiritual Weapon to put that right up in its grill.
Okay.
However, I'm probably not going to hit with a 15.
You are not. No.
But I'm going to interpose that between me and it, and then I'm going to dodge.
Okay, so here becomes the key question. So spiritual weapon is now occupying that square?
Yes.
In between you and it?
Is my understanding.
So yes. if it were trying some sort of bull rush or something like that, spiritual weapon would in fact impede that? Or can, I guess my question is, can spiritual weapon be, can you contest spiritual weapon in terms of a push?
So it describes it as a floating spectral weapon. It's capable of dealing force damage, but there are many things that deal force damage that you're capable of walking right through.
Exactly.
So I believe it's up to the DM exactly that means, whether it occupies the space, prevents anything from moving through it, or
I thought it said in the spell description it
does not.
No.
Really?
You create a floating spectral weapon within range that lasts for the duration. When you cast a spell, you can make a melee attack against a creature within 5 feet. On a hit, does damage, but yeah, aside from that, it does not appear to occupy the space in any way.
Yeah, that's always the...
I think it's kind of implied with, like, spectral, where stuff just passes through. Like,
yeah, that's always kind of, that's sort of the key, because yeah, that's a common debate is with spiritual weapon, you know, in terms of, obviously, you know, can it grant advantage? Can it occupy space? All that sort of stuff. As you look behind you guys, you hear this sort of whimpering and this, you know, as Jamez, pipe down, it'll be fine, don't worry, no, here. And there's just a mass of flesh and metal behind you as Court and Silvertongue are freaking out and quavering. Helya, you would notice that the short sword that you gave Silvertongue has clattered to the ground. Oh, and to be fair, this, again, to our fellas here, this is not some orc. This is not some kind of goblin that they're dealing with. I mean, this is
well above their pay grade.
This is something out of a nightmare. And so you can it is annoying, but you can kind of understand it. Helya, you're up. What you gonna do?
Grumble that he dropped my sword when I told him not to.
Okay.
And let's see. I will take two more shots.
Take your shots.
Maybe if I actually click on the red button. 19?
19 does hit.
Alright, that'll be another 14 piercing.
Another 14. You guys are hurting him.
That'll be a dirty 20.
Okay.
That will be 8 piercing.
Okay, another 8.
And one superiority die for an additional 8 piercing, and I will grant advantage again to the next person that hits it.
Gotcha. Okay. Oof. All right, that front of him is looking like a pincushion, because you guys are shooting things into him, but he's going to surge forward. He's going to kind of jam into that spiritual weapon in his rage and attempt a bite attack, again reaching out with those tentacles on Moradin. Moradin, you are dodging, correct?
Always be dodging. I also need to make a Spirit Guardian.
And he's making a Spirit Guardian's Wisdom save. All right, let me do the Wisdom save first.
Okay.
Ooh, man, I am not rolling well tonight. That's a 5. So how much is he going to take?
13 radiant damage.
Whoo, baby. Let's see. That takes him down to that. Oof. All right. And here comes the bite. As he tries the bite. Oh, that's pretty good, actually. 21. Is that going to hit?
21.
That's a 3 or a 4.
The roll is a 4?
Yep.
So 15?
Yeah, 15 doesn't hit me.
Damn. Oh, that was going to be 21 was going to hit though, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Oh, that was going to be nasty.
Yeah, I need our tank to tank.
Oh man. Okay. So yeah, he surges forward there. Let me make some adjustments on how far away. Let's see. Ba-ba-bum, there's the verm. So that means everybody is 5 feet closer to the worm. And okay, gotcha. Okay, that takes us to Sparkon. What's Woodsy gonna, the owl, gonna do here?
Same deal. He is going to boop and give advantage to he'll give advantage to Helya.
Okay,
she's after Rick.
Okay.
And then he'll go back. So he's 25 feet away, so he'll boop forward 25 feet and then go back 30 feet.
Murder Mead.
My owl just hitting something.
There you go.
Yeah.
And you can see as he goes in, swoops, and then turns around and goes back, those claws grapple for him. He's a stealthy owl. He's making jicks, but man, he is flying right into the maw of the beast each time. Murder Mead, what you gonna do?
And Helya gave me advantage?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm gonna try to just shoot him again. It's not much, but I don't want to get close to this thing.
And he is now within 5 feet of Moradin, so yeah.
Oh, okay, all right. A lot. 26 to hit.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely gonna hit.
Ooh, damage is 25 points of damage.
25. Oh, he's not looking good. Okay. What else, Murder Mead? Anything else?
I insult its mother in, I don't know any good languages. Never mind.
All right. Yeah. And again, you're, this is really the first fight that you've had using your new senses. And it's weird getting used to it, because just listening to the sound, you can hear how far away he is in front of Moradin. All this stuff, you're really amazed at how accurately you can shoot and know what you're shooting at, even with your blindfold. Last gate, what are you up to? It ain't looking good, but
it's not looking good.
But it's still up. And again, you see, when every time sploosh, Rick. Oh, that's right. Rick just hit it. So hold on.
I need to take some acid damage.
Yeah, you're about to take some acid damage. Hold on.
I'm sorry, Morgan Mead. I'm sorry, Morgan.
You are gonna take. Oh yeah, 9, 10. So, Morgan, you're gonna take 10 acid damage as that arrow hits and just splooshes on you like some kind of acid zit popping. And it burns.
Gross.
It's nasty. All right, last gate, what you doing?
Yeah, I'll huck a fireball.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So when it's 10
it's
feet
10
away from
feet
me,
away.
That's too close.
I was going to say.
But when it's right up in my grill.
Okay.
I mean, so, it didn't matter, but it hit you anyway.
So give me, you're basically putting this right on Moradin then.
Yeah.
Okay, and then
is
murder
meets.
Me? Well, let's see, 20
as
feet.
As far back as I can. I can't get past it, can't I?
Yeah,
I can't.
No. So Rick, it depends. What's the radius on the fireball?
20 feet radius.
It'll it will just barely not get Rick.
Okay.
Aww. Yeah. He's 5 feet away.
Can we like time it when
it's use my evasion.
Shoot it down his gullet.
What save is it making?
Dex save.
It's taking up the entire cavern. It's going to dodge. No, of course not. It's going to make that at disadvantage. Let's see. 14?
No.
Morgan? All right, what's it going to take?
Oh, man.
What'd you get?
Even with advantage, I rolled a 7.
Oof.
All right. That's 35 total.
All right. So for me, that's 17.
Okay. Multiple things happen here. All right, so last gate, you know, steps out, does the what are your components? What are your particular components for fireball, last gate?
My particular components,
sulfur and back guano. Right?
Is that what you use?
Yeah, I take a bit of sulfur in one hand and back guano on the other, and I just smear them together onto my, like, wrap them around my thumb. That's usually what I do.
Okay, there is a massive fireball explosion. Moradin takes just barbecue damage. This thing explodes in a ball of gas and fire. And Moradin, you are also going to take, along with your fireball damage. Oh, you're like, I rolled a few ones in there. Let's see. 6, 8.
Still, I just like to lead with gross.
You're going to take 18 acid damage as this thing explodes in a nasty just pool of acid and burning and fire. But another thing happens. Last gate, as you reach out with the magic to create that particular spell, as you sort of reach into your magic well to pull forth the energy that you do that, you feel a presence that is very familiar to you and words that simply speak in your head in a quiet feminine voice. Reach out to me. We must speak. Find a quiet place.
I gotta go to my living room because it's out there.
I'm sorry, what?
The DVD, sorry.
and you recognize the voice of the goddess. And when it's clear, all the rest of you look. And you see last gate, you see a few things. Jamez, Court, and Silvertongue are, you heard them sort of give this scream when the fireball went off. Ah! And you still see them huddled back behind you as a mass of dwarven and human flesh and armor. You see Lastgate with his eyes rolled a bit back up in his head as he stands there. Moradin up front by this steaming pile of acidic flesh and grossness is standing there singed with acid and fire dripping from him, I assume still large size. And Murdermead and Helya just kind of looking between the two of them. That was unexpected.
Holy shite, the hell did you hit it with?
Oh. And the
other worms explode like that.
The smell in this enclosed space, in this now blocked tunnel, is just vile. It's almost, if you stay here too long, you think you might end up having to maybe, you know, make some rolls.
I'm gonna wave my nose, wave it away from my nose, go pick up my sword that is on the ground.
Yeah, and as you do, you can look down and see Silvertongue, who sort of peeps out from under Jamez's armpit, kind of like, I'm sorry.
You should probably get out of here. You're not cut out for this.
You mean there's going to be...
More?
More like...
Oh, yeah.
Like that?
A lot more.
Many, many more likely. In fact, we are fortunate that it was just the one. The last time we encountered these things, there were three or so. Not quite as large or as foul as this one, but in great numbers.
And Court's going to roll out from under Jamez. He's got a little bit more sense of self, a little bit more self-control, but he'll look at you guys and he'll look at that thing and go, I didn't know. And you guys remember, not long after you met Court the first time, your mind goes back to the fact that you were ambushed by demons on the road out to the estate, and Court freaked out and ran and hid in the woods that time. Mm-hmm. And so this is not new for him, but he thought he maybe would do a little better this time. I understand what you were saying now. Mr. Silvertongue, I think that's your name. I think my job right now is to get you home. And he'll, you know, approach Helya and he'll hold his hand out, see if you'll give him the short sword. And, you gonna give it to him?
She looks at the sword. She looks at him.
He says,
you drop it or you lose it. You better be dead. She'll hand it to him.
He'll take it, and he'll look up
important
at you and...
to me.
Ma'am, I'm going to give this back to you sometime. That's a promise. Mr. Silvertongue, if you'll come with me, sir, I'm going to get you out of here. Or I'm gonna die trying. I think that's why I'm supposed to be here. Oh, lad. I mean, it's obvious that folks like you and me, we don't belong at these depths. He gets up, brushes himself off. I mean, he hasn't, you know, soiled himself or something like that, but he's shaking. And the two of them look towards you. They look back the way they came. And they make a motion of goodbye and turn around.
Before you go, Silvertongue.
My lady.
She's going to reach over onto her belt and she's going to grab two things. She's going to grab the hand crossbow and a few, like a handful of bolts.
Ah.
Give to him. Take this. Watch for him as much as he watches for you, okay?
Point and shoot. I think I understand.
Real easy. Point and shoot. And then she's going to take a letter out of her breast pocket of her little vest jacket she wears.
And
if you can, take this to Ferret. He'll see it gets to where it's going.
Oh, Ferret Hart.
Assuming we don't come out of the hole.
The antique dealer. I will. I will make sure.
Yeah, just tell him it goes south.
Goes south. Well, I shall do so. And I hope to see you all again soon. We shall lift a pint. And if you do find my cousin further on into this nightmare, I would appreciate if you could return him to us up above. He makes me insane sometimes, but we are more alike than we are unlike.
Of course, if we find him, we'll see to it that he gets out of here. That said, on your way out, if you run into someone named Voss, he might help you. Maybe. But if you do, get rid of that letter that I gave you, okay? And she just gives him a thumbs up.
Huh. You have my word. I am still more persuasive than the average dwarf. Yes. Well, my new young friend, shall we see if we can find our way to the sunlight, like good dwarves under the earth? Sure. And he turns to Jamez. Thank you again. You're still, in a lot of ways, what I aspire to be. And starts walking back the way you came. Meanwhile, Lastgate, you...
Yep.
Heard that very, very clearly. Reach out to me. Find a quiet place. Meditate. We must speak. What are you going to do? You're starting to kind of come out of it now. You find yourself back in this tunnel with this grotesque pile of acidic flaming goo about 5 feet in front of a smoking charred Moradin who's looking back at you like, really?
Moradin actually looks back at him and gives a thumbs up.
Sorry. What do you guys want to do now? Keep going?
You could potentially, given time, cut your way through this thing. There might be some acid damage to be taken, and it would definitely be slow going for a while. But your other alternative is to turn back and find another one of the three tunnels forward.
What do you think, Loss? Anything we can get through this, or do you want to try to find another way around?
Did you just call me Loss?
Yeah.
Lads. What's up?
Oh, I thought he said last, like, is like.
I also heard last, but it
made
a whole lot of sense to me.
Last or lad?
Last.
Last.
Okay.
I was talking to you.
Okay. Well,
what are the relative ages of everybody?
One does not ask a lady her age.
Yes, right, of course. Okay.
Ask me my age.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd always just figured Morden was the oldest, but that... anyway, so...
I don't... I would... I just sort of gave my one cutting tool away. Y'all want to cut through it? That's on you. I'll give you advice on how to do it.
If it's all the same to everyone else, I'd rather not go through another worm.
I agree with Rick here. Let us find a way around.
I'm good with that.
So the plan is you guys are going to walk backwards to that junction of the three of the three tunnels there and pick a different one?
Until we exhaust our options, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. So yeah, it's pretty easy. You guys can backtrack through if you're looking straight ahead, the tunnel on the left-hand side, you come back down it, past the little hallway that took you back into the prison section, where that trap was, back past where Rick got eaten by the worm, and crossed over into the other world, until you are once again at the nexus, at the intersection point of the three tunnels. So now you know that the one to your left is blocked by a giant acidic worm carcass. So that leaves you the center one and the one to the right.
I vote center. That's where Blot came from, wasn't it?
That was where Blot came from that first time, yes.
Can I smell anything coming from the right-hand passage?
I would not recommend that.
Smell.
I'm trying to. Yeah, is there anything? Do I notice a difference?
Sure, make a perception check. I'll give you that.
Oh, these are my favorite. I think it's
using the Gandalf method.
I didn't even think about that. Fuck. No, I don't.
Okay.
I smell acid from Morden.
Rick, yeah, Morden's walking around pretty ripe. Rick, make a...
ripe.
Perception check at advantage.
Okay. Here we go. Still not great, but not the worst I've ever gotten. 17.
As you sort of put your senses out and listen, there is a definite vibration of some type, not like a large creature moving through the tunnel like you had just dealt with, but there is a definite vibration of some type coming from the right-hand tunnel. You do not hear or sense anything coming from the center, but what you sense coming from the right-hand tunnel could be a long way away. Again, you're still kind of getting used to these senses, these new heightened feeling and hearing senses.
Guys, I'm getting I don't know how to describe it. This is all new to me still. So I think we should go down the right side.
Why?
But I'm just getting something. I can feel it in me bones.
Right. Morden is gonna shrug his shoulders and start moving down the right side.
And Morden, I am assuming you have come back down to normal size, yes?
Yeah, it only lasts a minute.
Yeah, it only lasts a minute. So, the right side. Okay. Morden shrugs, turns his shoulders, heads down the right side. Do you guys follow him?
Into hell, if need be.
Last gate. Give me let's call this an arcana check.
30-20.
Ooh, 30-20. As you begin to walk, again, there is that upon your mind, which is pulling at you. It's not pulling you backwards to a location, but just, it's almost like the ringing of a bell or knocking on a door. Something is definitely trying to get your attention, and it feels very familiar. Mm-hmm. Not wrong, but it is insistent. Especially as those two times when you just used your magic. That first time, then that second time, it almost didn't like give you a headache or anything, but when you opened that door, it something came in through the cat door.
Hey guys, can we take like a... Can we just stop for a minute?
Certainly. Well, what is the matter?
I just got something itching in the back of my brain I need to take care of.
Reach up and scratch the back of his head.
Nice.
No, I mean like, and I point up, like up, you know, from her.
And I think like, I want to ignore it. Points at herself like, what?
No, from her, from Evondra, I don't think I want to ignore this. I think she's trying to tell me something.
Religious folk, yeah.
Yeah, let's just take like a... Come on, let's just short rest it up, okay? Just take like a half hour, hour to... rest up a bit, get something to eat.
I have no objections.
So you guys gonna just do it right here in the tunnel? Or what's your...
Yeah.
What's your plan? Okay. All right, so Lasgate, when you do want to commune with the goddess, what is your normal? How do you go about that? What do you do?
I can do it a couple of different ways. One of them is divination, but I am no longer able to use that at the moment because I ran out of dice. However, my other one that I can use is contact other plane.
Ooh.
Which is I reach out and try to connect with Evondra. So I have to contact any extraplanar intelligence constrain or even break your mind. When you cast the spell, you make a DC 15 intelligence saving throw, and on a failure I take 66 psychic damage and are insane until I finish a long rest.
What level spell is that?
It's a ritual, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, it's a ritual. Okay. Not in terms of the spell slot.
It's a fifth level spell.
It sounds high. Okay. Yeah. It's a fifth level spell.
I can ask the entity up to five questions. The DM answers each question with one word such as yes, no, maybe, never, irrelevant, unclear. And if the entity doesn't know the answer to the question, it can use irrelevant or unclear.
Okay.
If a one word answer would be misleading, the DM might instead offer a short phrase as an answer.
Okay.
So I'm going to give that a shot.
Okay.
I can't do it any other way.
All right.
I have no other way of doing this.
So here's what's going to happen. You guys all sort of, you're in this cavern. Lastgate maybe goes over to a wall, something like that, kneels down, maybe crosses his legs. You see him take 10 minutes, yes, because you're ritual casting it.
Technically 11? Because it's a one-minute spell, and if you cast a ritual, it takes an extra 10 minutes. So right. But
you see him taking that time, and then suddenly you see him sit bolt upright. His eyes shoot wide open and then go glassy gray, and it's almost like he's having some sort of fit or seizure, but he is in it as the rest of you are either sitting or standing around the tunnel walls around him, I assume keeping watch in different directions, listening. But Lastgate is out of it. He has been mentally, spiritually whisked away. And perhaps Moradin could get a sense that Lastgate is in the presence of the divine. And that's where we're going to take our intermission here, folks. We are going to come back with Act 2 in just a second. We hope you will come back with us, but we are going to do what we always like to do at this point in the intermission. We are going to try to raise your awareness of a pretty great organization called stackup.org, stackup.org, and they are doing some terrific Twitch streams over these next few days. They are doing fundraising Twitch streams for their particular organization. You can go on, you can watch, you can pledge. They are ramping up their organization in a pretty significant way. They've got some new social media managers. They've got folks who are basically trying to raise awareness of not only what they do, but also how you can be a part of it and potentially donate or even take part. You know, if you go on their website, you can see that their Stack Up Overwatch program, their 24/7 program for counseling for veterans and also active duty military that's over on Discord, you can actually sign up to be a part of that. It's not just about donating, though they always certainly welcome that. But if you feel like you would like to be a counselor, maybe you are a veteran, maybe you know what that's like. Maybe you've had a veteran in your life and you can talk to somebody who's dealing with that. They don't just put you on there. There's some training you have to undergo and things like that. But you can be a very, very active part of their mission. And if you are interested in that, all you got to do is go to their website, stackup.org. That's stackup.org. And you can find out about their supply drops and their con visits, but also about the Stack Up Overwatch program and how you potentially could be a part of that as well. We hope you'll check them out, and we hope you'll check us out when we come back in just a few minutes for Act 2. Thanks. And we're back. Okay. Last game. You have an odd sensation suddenly of being yanked, of being pulled up out of your body, spiraling not only up through Earth and up through the ground and the sky, but through space and time. Lights flashing and a sense of all five of your senses being stretched to their limit. And when suddenly you come back to yourself, you have the strangest feeling of being at a street fair. It's like you're in some kind of festival on a beautiful sunny day, and yet there doesn't seem to be much sound to it. There are people moving about, there are brightly colored silks and tents everywhere, and yet it all seems somewhat silent. And standing right in front of you and beckoning you into her, to call it a tent would be a little bit much. It's more like a lean-to. It has an open front. Is a willowy, sadly beautiful, elven-looking woman who has a small table with a lovely lace tablecloth over it. There are two chairs there, and she beckons you towards an empty one, and you hear her voice in your head. Thank you. Come, sit. There is much to say and little time.
Very well. I will have a seat.
You move to sit in front of her. She reaches below the table and pulls out a deck of cards. Begins to shuffle them in front of you. Every now and then, her eyes look up to you shyly, but most of the time they are down very intently on the cards as she cuts them shuffles them again, and then lays the whole deck down on the table in front of you and says, pick out any four that you desire. And she fans them out across the table. But do not view them.
All right. Any four.
Any four.
Okay, I will take the one on the far left. I will take the 10th one from that. I will take a random one from the center of the pile now. And the far right.
She looks up at you with a knowing smile. And you can't... It's in the back of your brain. But there is something familiar about that smile. As she lays down the cards, one at a time, the center, the magician, crossing it, she lays over the top of it the two of swords. On one side, the seven of swords. And on the other side of the cross, the ten of swords. She looks and says, there is much here that you need to know. The rest of the party, back in the tunnel, 1 hour has gone by. And
I have doodled kitty whiskers on him.
Lastgate shows no sign of coming out from under this. Absolutely. His eyes are rolled back in his head, and he is communing with the divine. Are any of you guys, are you... Is somebody keeping watch? What are the other three of you doing?
I would like to keep watch.
I mean, he technically could do that very well.
Oh yeah,
actually,
yeah, it's true.
Morden is busy forging a pen.
I'm sorry, what did you say? Forging a pen?
An ink pen.
Of all the things.
By request, yeah.
Okay.
So Helia can draw the kitty whiskers.
A writing utensil down in the tombs.
So
okay.
He's creating the pin. Once it's done, I'm just going to kitty whiskers on Lastgate's face while he's communing.
So yeah, and Rick is just kind of walking back and forth from one side to the other. The upper end, then down to the lower end. On either side of you guys, and putting out the, you know, those feelers, listening, feeling. Every now and then maybe you see Murder Mead reach over and put a hand on the wall. Like he's feeling.
Do the vibrations feel any closer?
No. Actually. No. And in fact, Rick, perception check at advantage now that you're moving forward.
That is so much better. That is like the best perception I've ever had. 24.
It's like a hum. It's almost mechanical. Almost. Yeah, but it's constant. It's a constant vibration.
Would you say they're good vibrations?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Vibration.
Okay. Last gate. She sits across the table from you. She reaches down and picks up the magician. Shows it to you. This is fairly easy to interpret, I would think. But look, you can see one arm is pointing up, and one arm is pointing down. The true magician is the conduit, is the connection between the spiritual and the earthly.
Conduit connection?
Mm-hmm. That is always the goal. She puts it back down. Crossing it, close to it, you see the Two of Swords. The blindfolded fighter with a weapon in both hands. The key to your quest, what is closest to you, is the one who seems to be in the dark, but is not. Tell him, always listen for the book when you cannot look for the book. And she lays it back down, crossing right over you. Back in the catacombs, guys, 2 hours have passed. And you are now starting to wonder, how long is he going to be in this? And Murder Mead, maybe you guys are getting a little nervous. Like, how long can we sit here undetected? And if we had to move him, could we? What would we do? Those sorts of things are starting to run through your mind. Is there anything you guys want to do while you sit here waiting?
I think as it gets more and more apparent that he's going to be in that state for a long time, Helia's going to start watching the corridors more intently, you know, her picking on him being set aside in favor of, you know, like, keeping a good, like, vigil and watching for things.
Okay. Either of the other two of you?
Rick, why are you touching the wall?
What's like seeing for me now? I see with my hands. Also, I can feel something. Something down here. I can't quite put my finger on it yet.
Looks like you're putting your finger on it already.
It's the wrong spot.
Oh.
And Rick, she's...
If I do feel up and down the wall, can I get like a
so
direction?
I was about to say, she's kind of joking, but at the same time, there is something within you that gets a sense... If you combine who you were and who you are, as a dwarf, you know there are veins in this rock. There are veins of precious metals, maybe iron, or, and it's almost like if you could find the right vein, it would almost be like finding a wire. It would give you a vibration that could lead you deeper, or you know, give you better reception. It's very interesting. If you want to spend some time kind of feeling around for the veins in the walls, they could talk to you, perhaps.
They understand it. I've got lots of time.
Okay. Yeah, so Rick, you guys can look and see Murder Meat over on the side, and he's got one hand. He's looking down. His face is looking down, still blindfolded, but he's moving his fingers around almost like he's... It would be almost like he's reading Braille. He's looking for something. He's nope, not there. Nope. Little, okay. Yeah. You guys are going to watch him do that for a little while. Meanwhile, back in the tent, she reaches and picks up the next card. It is the past, she says.
Wait, what?
The past.
Seven of Swords?
Seven of Swords is the past.
Okay.
Look what is happening. And on the picture you can see there is what looks like a knave, a normal sort of rogue type, and has an armful of swords and is sneaking away with them. This is all based on someone stealing that which does not belong to them. Everything you are doing now was created by theft and deceit. Know that bad actions can only create bad ends. From darkness comes darkness. From deceit comes deceit. And she puts the card back down. And she reaches for the one on the other side. The Ten of Swords. Your future. And this is a very ominous card. It has a body lying down on the ground with multiple swords in its back. See, the Ten of Swords, deception, betrayal, the stab in the back from whence one least expects it. This is somewhere in your future, and potentially your near future. The seven leads to the ten. The past creates the future, but is not the only thing that creates the future. Because always, when she puts her finger down to the center, there is the two of you, the magician and the blindfolded fighter. If you are true to each other, you are at the center. And as she says that, you can start to feel this world slipping away a little bit.
Clarification.
Clarification.
If you are true to each other...
If you are true to each other... You can persevere if you are true to each other. And you do get a sense that as this world starts to slip away, maybe you can't see anything beyond the tent now. It's kind of starting to close in on itself. You could ask a question or two if you spoke, but you can feel time slipping away. Back in the cavern, Rick, your finger passes over what's probably a vein of, it's probably iron, maybe basalt or something like that, but, and for just a second, you get this hum really loud and clear. It's almost like you're going, and then it's gone. But you put your finger back, and there it is. And you can, it's almost like it progresses in front of you. You could keep your finger on the wall, and this vein travels forward into the tunnel, and it is humming like a vibrating bow on a string, almost to the point that it's not painful, but it almost tickles to keep your finger on it.
And can I sense like how far away it is?
That's hard. It goes a long way.
Okay.
But this does seem to. This humming is large scale, and it does seem to, you know, be working on this frequency. You can feel it with your new heightened senses.
Can feel it in my jellies.
Oh yes. Are you gonna tell your gang or?
Gosh, guys. There's something. No, it's not much. It's theirs. I can feel it.
Feel
we
what?
Have to go. Somebody wake up Lastgate.
Go over and shake him. Lastgate. Hey, Lastgate.
He is
Morden's gonna. Oh, go ahead.
He is unwakeable. When you shake him, his head just kind of lulls from side to side. He's.
Are you sure he's still alive?
I don't know.
I'm not trained in medicine. I'm a really bad cleric.
That was a really big explosion he did. Maybe like, you know, maybe he has to like sleep or something. You like recharge.
You are, if you, you definitely see him breathing and you're getting a pulse. Yes. He's not, there is no sense that he is dead at all. No.
If something is coming and we have to get going, I'll just, I'll stoop down and I'll just drag him up over my shoulder and stand.
Okay.
Fireman carry him out of here.
Okay. But that doesn't mean that right now you're heading out, does it?
I don't know. I thought we were...
Oh, okay.
Rick, what is it that you're feeling that makes you believe that we need to leave right now?
It's there's something, and it's big, but I can't quite... not sure what it is. It's making me anxious.
I'm going to walk over and look at what he's got his finger on to see if there's anything visible that he's not, you know,
yeah.
Seeing.
I mean, I'll give you a perception check. Go ahead.
I'm not bad at these. There he is. It is... 18.
Oh, okay. So well, you can definitely see. I mean, there are veins running through the rock, but there's veins running through a lot of these rocks. It's you know, this underground tunnel. It's not, you know, it's not gold or silver or something like that. We're not in a mine, but yeah, there are striations and veins running through here, and you can definitely see he has his finger very pronouncedly on one. And you can see almost if you look, I mean it's like his hand is trembling a little bit. It's like it's got a little bit of a vibration to it.
Interesting. Given my extensive personal expertise in metal, being a forge priest, am I able to identify the kind of metal that seems to be conducting this vibration?
Half a moment. Let me do it. It is a vein of iron.
Of course it is. It's a vein of iron. All right, I'm going to take a piece of chalk.
Okay.
And I am just going to scratch a small X exactly where he's got his hand.
Oh.
And then I'm going to go back and just take a look at Lastgate to make sure that he's not, you know, going into convulsions or something.
Okay, yeah, he's not choking on his tongue or anything like that. But yes, a little mark there. You know, yeah, Rick, you can feel as he takes chalk and just right in front of your finger puts, and Morden, you could see too that vein extends. It goes down. It keeps going at least as far as you guys can see. Obviously, it's dark down here, but this vein probably travels. Last gate. As the tent and the world that you're in, you can feel it starting to fade, but it hasn't faded yet. You have a sense you could ask a question or two. You could communicate in some way if you wanted to try. But time is short.
Thank you.
Thanks are unnecessary. You... There's a sad smile in her eyes. You do me proud, and I could not ask for a better representative. But beware. There are so many who would try to pull you from the path.
I'll just nod.
Tell me, is your world... Is it a sad place still?
That depends on perspective. But I always like to think of it as the perfect place to live a free life.
Free. Yes. You must return.
I know.
The world is fading now. And the last words you hear in your head, as you feel yourself sinking back down out of that world, through the earth, deep down into the tunnels, a last little echo. Oh, I am glad my experience there was beautiful, but so sad. Down in the tunnel, you guys see Last Gate sort of, it's like coming up out of water. He takes a big, deep breath, his eyes roll back down, and he falls over to the side. He is exhausted. It is almost as if, Last Gate, you feel like you have been on a long journey. You are, oh... Man, if you had to run right now, if there was a monster coming down the tunnel or something, you would need to be carried. You are worn out. You didn't take any damage, you don't have anything like that, but this was a trip.
Okay. How?
Oh, you're like.
Yeah.
Have a good nap?
I wouldn't call it a nap, but it was interesting, that's for certain. What happened?
Nothing. We just sort of sat here.
Rick may have found the path to something.
Blindfolded spider.
There's like a, there's a vibration in the wall, and I'm pretty sure if we follow it, it'll take us somewhere.
Okay. I trust you, Rick. You can put me down now.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm fine. Just tired.
I will...
How can you be tired? You just took a nap.
Tip over to the side and drop him on the ground.
No, I understand. It probably looked like I was sleeping and I wasn't doing much, but... the arcane arts can take a lot out of you. Sorry about that, guys. I didn't know it was going to be so... intense. She's new to this stuff, too, so I think she's kind of getting her feelers out. Where are we going?
Following this vibration in the wall, and I'm just going to try to, like, follow vein along the wall, I guess.
Wait a moment, Rick. Morden is going to cast Locate Object... iron ore.
Ooh, okay. There's a lot of iron down here. Do you want to be any more specific than that?
My intention is, you spell can locate a specific object known to you as long as it has been seen up close.
Right.
Within 30 feet at least once. Alternatively, the spell can locate the nearest object of a particular kind, such as blah, 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 blah. If I put my hand... directly on the vein, I should be able to magically sense when I am moving away from it and moving closer to it.
Right, and it works up to 10 minutes, right?
10 minutes, yes. Okay. So I'll have to move quick.
Right. Okay. If any thickness of lead, even a thin sheet, blocks a direct path between... Yeah, not a problem. Can locate the nearest object particular, such as the certain kind of apparel, jewelry... furniture, tool, or weapon. Okay, so you are specifically looking for locating the object of that vein of iron ore. Is that correct?
Right. Exactly.
Okay. So yeah. So it almost, in this particular case, it almost functions kind of like find the path.
That's what I'm going for.
Yeah. It. You definitely can cast it. It's just a quick little. You know, second level divination spell, and yes, you can see that there are multiple lines of iron ore in the wall, but the one where you drew the chalk outline, the chalk X, if you want to sort of focus on that, you can see where it goes to just as well as Rick can. So it's almost like both of you have a sense of where this is going to go. Now, the difference, of course, is, you know, Rick's is coming in through his senses. Yours is going to last for 10 minutes.
Right.
So yeah, but you can see. Now, what you're not getting like Rick is that he's getting that hum sensation. He's getting that same thing. You're just able to locate it. Last gate, as Helya puts you down and drops you over... You, there's this, and you reach out to sort of catch yourself. One hand falls down and catches yourself, open palm on the stone of the cavern. Your other hand reaches out, but as you reach out to catch yourself, you realize you've got something in it. And as you your eyes adjust to the dim light of the cavern... And you can see when you pick it up, you dropped it to catch yourself there. It's a card. You have a card in your hand.
I'm having really bad flashbacks right now. Sorry.
Bad flashbacks?
Yeah, just I'll tell you later.
Okay. A card in your hand, and it is the magician. And you remember what she said.
Huh.
If you look at the magician is powerful. The magician works with arcane forces. But perhaps the most important thing about the magician is one hand is pointing up towards the arcane, towards the celestial. The other hand is pointing down towards the earth. The magician, fully realized, is a conduit who brings one to the other, in whom both those forces are combined. You look at it, and it's real. It's not something in your head. It's not something that's fading away. It is a tangible, touchable card.
Right. Tuck that into one of my sleeves.
And by the way, as you tuck that away, there was a moment maybe of, you know, was it a dream? Was it a vision? What was it? It was real. And that means that the other two cards on either side were real. Theft and betrayal. Stealing all the swords, stealing the thing, and being stabbed in the back. The past.
I need some coffee.
Right, well, we're probably not gonna get that down here.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm talking to myself. Did I get a full rest?
You all did get a full rest. And as you rise up to, you look at this vein that's in the earth. As you all rise up to your feet, get ready to do whatever you're going to do next. You do feel after this rest that somehow you are maybe a little better than well rested. That perhaps you have grown to be a little bit more than what you were before this rest started. Almost if you had more access to more health, more spells, more... whatever makes you, you. You guys have leveled up to 11.
Man, I'm so glad that we took this, you know, this time for you to sit. I suddenly remembered that I can shoot 3 times.
Oh, shit. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
3 yeah. times
now. A lot of 12 fighters, baby.
3 times
I
now.
I have 3 attacks.
Plus your superiority die, and plus then, your bone.
Plus haste.
Yeah, you're basically a one-man archery unit at this point.
Yeah, if I have a sword in one hand and whatnot, then yeah, but unfortunately...
Hand crossbow procs off its own hand crossbow.
You get the hand crossbow to Silver Tongue.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, crap. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Wonder how they're doing.
They're fine. Don't
what could go wrong? But yes, you guys have after your rest during Last Gate's communion, you have leveled up to 11. What's so funny?
I'll put it in Discord here.
Oh, okay. Are you continuing as the barbarian wizard?
Apparently, dude.
Okay.
This is... I've never seen this before.
And so, yeah, you guys get, you know, your spell slots back and all that stuff. Oh, wait, I gotta take a look. Hold on.
Jeez, man.
I don't know, man. I'm sorry.
Wow.
That's another plus 10.
Wow.
To my health. So I'm at...
You're the tank wizard.
I'm at 106.
A tank wizard. Okay. Well, there you go.
Disgusting.
That's pretty awesome.
Gross is what it is.
So
I feel so wrong.
That's quite okay.
I mean, it It seems like a lot, but we're getting into that area where shit's really gonna hurt us now.
Oh yeah, I mean,
also rolled max.
Hey,
I mean, the thing is that for just to give you an idea, that worm you guys were just fighting, with one hit, he did 6d10 plus 3d6 fire.
Yeah.
So, or excuse me, 3d6 acid. So I mean, yeah, but yeah.
Yeah, because it's like at level 20, my paladin for the last fight, you know, she had like 302 health, and it's like this is really cool. I got 302 health. The boss hits me for like 80 a whack.
Oh, I remember that. I was.
Hey, I have a question, Joel.
Yes.
This is gonna sound really wonky, but it's for clarification.
Okay.
If I casted True Seeing on Rick, what would that do?
If you casted True Seeing.
Yeah, the spell gives the willing creature you touch the ability to see things as they actually are, and for the duration, the creature has true sight. Notice the secret door is hidden by magic and can see into the ethereal plane out to 120 feet.
Well,
would that work?
I mean, to a certain degree, he already has some of that, right? I mean, yes, it would. It would allow him to see spectral things and ethereal plane stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, he already can sort of sense some stuff that is not seen by sight.
Okay.
So yes, that could potentially augment him, you know, significantly.
I just had to have that laugh. That's
true. I mean, there's all, you get into all sorts of, you know, tremor sense and blind sense and all that sort of stuff. So yeah. All right. So what are you guys going to, with your new sort of taking a deep breath and feeling beefed up and having just communed with your goddess and all this, what's the plan of action now?
I mean, if Moradin wants to take point for following the Iron Vein, I will let him.
So what I was thinking would be our method would be I'd be keeping an eye on the vein, and Rick would check my work, make sure that he was touching the vein where I felt that it was coming to the surface, so that we could make sure that we're following the correct vein. Does that make sense?
I got you.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do we get that vein just suddenly decides it wants to go straight down to the floor?
Start digging.
Still have a pickaxe.
That's the question. Yeah. You're. I mean, you can see that you can follow it as far as you can see it right now. But yes, is it going to go up on the ceiling? Is it going to go down into the floor? Yeah. That's you would just have to follow that to see what happens.
As it so happens, because we have long rested, and because I am now a level 8 cleric on top of everything else, I have the ability to cast Stone Shape.
That's true.
So nice. If need be, we can start digging serious fashion.
Stone Shape. So wait a minute, you're level 8 cleric, you're level 3 what?
Fighter.
Wow.
That's how I get
that's
to be
how, that's
being
how you
beginning.
Get to do the beginning and dodging, yes. Okay. All right. So yeah, you guys rise up, feel a little stronger, take a big deep breath, feel like you're maybe a little more than you were just a few hours ago, but you also get a sense that you're probably going to need it. Rick, when you put your finger on that vein, that hum that you feel, it vibrates strongly, and it's something you can follow, but there's also something powerful and potentially a little ominous about it. And so, one by one, Moradin walking forward, looking forward, Rick with his finger kind of tracing on the wall behind him, Lastgate and Helya, Jamez walking down that tunnel, you move into what, as a group, you can't help but feel might be coming to the end game. Feels like there's something ominous in front of you where questions will be answered, fights will be fought, and decisions may have to be made about who you really are and what you really want. And that is where we are going to pause for this week. Good stuff, guys. Good stuff. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for hanging with us. We appreciate your time as you have hopefully enjoyed the last couple of hours. And we always hope, again, we don't like to say we give you something to distract you. We don't think you should be distracted, but that we hope you have had some entertainment for these last couple hours. And we especially hope that you will see fit as we're coming down to the end of season two. Oh my goodness, not a lot of episodes left in this season. We hope you'll see fit to join us once again next week for one of the final chapters of season two of Murder in Mirabar. Thanks for coming.